Hey you, and welcome back to another segment here on Gems Podcast. With me today in the hot seat is a very special guest by the name of Zach Stuckey. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about who Zach is, and then we're going to dive into this fabulous segment. So here we go, y'all. Get ready. Zach Stuckey is a published author and business scaling expert. He's been featured on top podcasts all over the world. He helps you scale by understanding the real reason why your customers are giving you their money, and then designing strategy and operations around that. Zach has helped businesses hit 40% year-over-year growth rates for multiple years, grown revenue streams by 600%, y'all, and created plans that add double digits in profitability without sacrificing quality and productivity. He sounds like my type of guy, and I hope he's your type of guy. So without further ado, let's welcome the man behind it all, Zach Stuckey.
It's a pleasure to be here, Genesis.
Oh, Zach, thank you so much for sharing and holding space with me. So I like to give the audience a chance to connect with my guests in a personal and professional way. So would you rather a 10-question rapid fire game, emphasis on rapid, or an icebreaker? What are you in the mood for?
All right. I've been thinking about this and I want to do the rapid fire. That sounds like a blast.
Here we go, y'all. We're playing rapid fire with Genesis and Zach. Do, 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 do. Question numero uno. What does your last name Stuckey mean?
So it's Swiss German. It means stout man.
Ooh, stout man. Do you find yourself being a stout man?
Yeah, unfortunately, a little bit.
Question two. What's one word to describe you?
One word to describe me is innovative.
Question three. What got you in the space that you are in now?
God.
Question four. Okay, I see you're a faith-based man. What's one scripture that is a staple scripture for you?
You know, one scripture that's really been going through my mind, because I love the Sermon on the Mount, and one scripture that's been going through my mind is consider the lilies of the field. I love that scripture. I love it, love it, love it.
Question five. You get three random acts of kindness to do per day. What are your three for today?
My three for today. One is going to be to smile at a complete stranger. Two is going to be to give my wife a back rub. And three is going to be, wipe down somebody's equipment at the gym, I guess.
I like it. Question six, what is your favorite thing to cook, or are you DoorDashing, Uber Eats, or something else?
Okay, I love to cook, but can we just acknowledge how easy and convenient Uber Eats and DoorDash is? And while we're on the subject, I've got to tell you this story. You're not going to believe this, okay? I was on this business trip and I didn't get in until like 9 o'clock at night. And it was actually out near you, out in Atlanta, out in Buford. And I was so tired. I was just like, I'm just going to order a pizza. So I order a pizza through Papa John's and I'm doing it through Uber Eats, right? And when it gets to the sauce part, I think it's like the little cups of sauce that they give you. So I marked ranch. Genesis, they gave me a pizza where the pizza sauce was ranch dressing. And I can't believe I'm going to say this. I was so hungry, I ate it.
I love funny stories like that, because it just makes you really appreciate like the fact that whenever you're in a predicament, when you're hungry and there's nothing else, you're going to eat what's there. And you're like,
oh, yeah.
Should I starve or should I eat?
Okay. So to answer your question, I love cooking. I especially love smoking meat. So like turkey breast, brisket, ham. I love to smoke all of it on my smoker.
Okay, I like that. Question seven. Would you rather a dream car, dream home, or heck, go big and have both?
Well, why not have both?
Yes, I like that. YOLO. Question eight. You know, you're having a day, you kind of feel a little blue. What are you jamming to pick you up?
So I have a playlist that I call Thumos. Thumos is a Greek word, and it just kind of means masculine energy. So that's what I jam.
Okay. Thumos, masculine energy. You heard it right. Question nine. What is your favorite childhood memory?
I had a really good childhood. So right now, my favorite childhood memory is going shooting with my grandpa.
Okay. And question 10, it is our pass or play question. And here are the rules. If you pass, our roles are reversed for this question and you get to ask me something. If you choose to play, I ask one last question to wrap up rapid fire. So are you passing or playing?
Oh, I'm going to play. I'm not afraid of this.
Okay. Since your favorite memory was shooting with your grandfather, for a childhood memory, what did you start off shooting?
So my grandpa had a 22. He always kept that. My grandpa is the most interesting character because he grew up raising sheep in the 30s. Like, his dad dropped him off with the herd in the middle of nowhere with a bag of beans and a bag of bullets and said, take care of the sheep. I'll be back in a week. You know, that's how tough my grandpa was. So he always carried little 22 bullets in a bag. And so I remember shooting a 22 out of the back of my grandpa's pickup truck. And we would just get like old water bottles or like Gatorade bottles or soda cans or just whatever we could get our hands on. And we go out in the middle of nowhere and just set up this stuff and go shoot for an hour or 2 hours. And it was a blast. You know, obviously this is before ammunition cost an arm and a leg. So.
Oh yeah. My first one to start off, and this is just recently, was actually a 22 that my husband took me to the gun range for Mother's Day. Yeah. So now it's funny because it's like B squared, beans and bullets. Which one do you want? Yeah. The beans or the bullets? So thank you for playing rapid fire, Zach. I hope you had fun, and audience, I hope you learned a little bit more about Zach in a fun and personal way. Now we're going to segue into our topic, which is the work that Zach is doing now to help you, you know, really connect with your customers, give them what they want and need, while also bringing in that profitability to your business and really scaling up your business and doing it in a way that is holistic and it's not slimy and sleazy. Because let's be honest here, when people begin to scale up too quickly, sometimes they, you know, forget how to really connect with their customers. They begin to cut corners and then they lose a sense of their ideal why, their purpose, and then they fail to really connect with that ideal avatar that helped them get to where they are. So Zach, would you agree with that sentiment?
1000%.
Okay, so let's start peeling the onion layer back. And it's so important here that we frame up the proper foundation because, you know, when we talk about business, let's talk about truly the fact that when you're starting a business, people forget to highlight their start ugly moments. Because when you start a business, sometimes you're in the business by yourself until it makes sense for you to truly scale and outsource those things that aren't your SME, your subject matter expertise, or in your wheelhouse. So when you started in this area, what was your ideal avatar?
My ideal avatar is the same one that I work with now. It's a high six, low seven figure business, where the business is a service business, but here's the tricky part. They want to scale, but the business feels like a prison for the business owner. You know, they're spending 60, 70, 80 hours a week. Sometimes, you know, they go on a family vacation and they're still pulling 20 hours over the week because they just can't step away from the business. And so I help them put in the processes and systems to help them scale without it relying on the business owner.
So then you're helping them go from working in the business to working on the business, which removes that amount of time that they're spending doing day-to-day mundane tasks to really flipping it over. Would you say to, like, when you say processes, like automation or just bringing in other people to help them in those respective areas?
So this is the tricky part here, Genesis, because I mean, the usual answer is yes. But the problem that most of these business owners are going to come across is that they have so much danged knowledge in their head about what the customer actually needs that they just do it. It's sort of the second nature to them. So before I do anything, I have to understand from the client perspective, not from the owner perspective, because the owner doesn't even know the answer to this. I have to understand from the client perspective, what is it that your business is actually doing for your customer? That's not your offer stack. It's not your features or benefits. It's the progress that you're actually helping your customer make. And, you know, you mentioned that a lot of these people who scale, they can get kind of sleazy. A lot of times that happens when the business owner, because they reach this point where they have to make a decision. And basically they have to choose, they feel like they have to choose, will I scale? Or will I deliver optimum quality? And they feel like they can't have both. And I'm here to tell you that's a lie. So we understand the progress the customer is trying to make, and then we can pull out the critical information from the business owner and build processes and systems around that.
So I want to dive a little bit deeper there, because you have a different approach than some others who do the same thing similar to you. So whenever you meet with these businesses, Zach, do you tell them, hey, who are your top five customers, and let's meet with that customer one-on-one? Or what does that look like for you to get on the other side with that customer to understand what their needs are?
Yeah, you know, what I do is I actually do what's called a client profitability analysis, because I don't want you to work with just any old client. I want you to work with the clients who are going to be your most profitable, because that's what scaling in fact is. Most people don't realize this. Scaling is profitable growth. It's not just growth. It's profitable growth. And so we do this client profitability analysis to determine who are your most profitable clients. Who are the businesses that you're solving this problem for so well that they stick with you year after year and they cost very little to maintain? When you understand that, then we can say, okay, what are the common threads here? Let's interview these most profitable people. You know, fun fact, they also call this a whale analysis, because the distribution looks kind of like a whale when you map it. But 20% of your business, 20% of your clients generate 80% of your profits. So,
Okay. I like that. So I'm over here picturing your whale, but when you first said it, I don't know why the fishbone method popped in my head. I'm like, nope, not the fishbone method.
Hey, fishbone's great. Fishbone's great. But, you know, this one's a little different.
Yeah. So do you map it out? Like, do you draw it out as a whale, or you just like talk to it to help?
I mean, if I have to, the reason they call it a whale is because when you map it out, if this is the y-axis and this is the x-axis, it goes like this. And kind of, it has a really sharp rise, and then your break even, and then a slow decline in profitability. So 80% of your profits are generated by that first 20% of your clients. And then you've got about 60% of your clients that are just in that break even spot. And then you've got the rest, that last 20% that you're actually losing money on. And so the idea is, well, if we can cut that bottom 20% that's actually losing you money, then you're not going to see an impact to your profit margins. You're not going to see an impact to your profit at the end of the day, and you're going to increase the overall capacity to service more profitable clients.
So for the part that's actually losing them money, I wonder if there's something there that can help them go from losing money to bringing in money. Maybe there's something that needs to be tweaked to help those overall clients. What are your thoughts there?
It's possible there are some marginal wins that you can gain by managing things like waste and variability. So waste is just, you have stuff left over, or you're wasting time, or you're moving too much, or stuff like that. There's like 8 different types of waste. Variability is just the differences from one client to another, the differences from preferences. There's like 6 different types of variability. And you can manage that, and you can see gains in profitability. But the thing that I like is that if we start from a starting point that is inherently profitable and then bring that stuff in, the gains are no longer marginal. They're rather substantial.
Okay. That definitely makes sense from a business aspect. And I forgot to ask you this when we started. What is your background, Zach?
Oh yeah, sure. okay. So I got an undergrad in finance, and that was enough for me to learn that I hate finance, but I'm really good at data analysis. So worked for about 4 years, then went back to school, got a master's degree in business administration with an emphasis in entrepreneurship. And basically, over the course of my working career, I worked with a lot of small businesses that through the course of mentorship and other stuff, we were able to take big. And so that was something that I was able to learn a lot of these operations tips and tricks. And I've been able to combine them with something called jobs theory, which was developed out of Harvard by a guy named Clayton Christensen, to create this unique system that I use.
Okay, perfect. And the reason why I wanted to ask that is because I want the audience to be able to understand why you have so much knowledge under your belt. And it's not just educational background. It's also paired with work experience that allows you to have the amount of business acumen, which helps you, articulate that to your great statistics that I called out earlier in your bio, because people may be listening and like, who's Zach Stuckey? Like, what makes him amazing? Well, this is what makes him amazing. And whenever you put, the proof to the pudding, you see the results. So it's very important that we don't just, glaze over the background. We actually deep dive and then make it relevant, so you are able to understand, to see if Zach is the type of man you want to work with to help scale your business. So let's keep going here, Zach. Because another thing is understanding customer motivation that you speak on, which I think that you explained that well, just based on what we just came out of whenever you said, okay, this is what I do. I do, the profitability analysis and et cetera. And that's a part of, understanding the other half. And once you understand the other half, you then technically kind of understand the customer, is how I see it.
Yeah.
Did I miss anything there, or?
You didn't miss anything, but I want to add some nuance here, because this is actually kind of the whole crux of things, right? Because if you do this wrong, you're going to have a Bud Light moment, or you're going to have a New Coke moment. And that's a deep cut for people who were alive back in 1985. but New Coke was a thing. They changed the formula and it bombed. Look it up. But so the idea is that when you do this, a lot of market research is based off of correlation. We're going to gather as much data about these people as we can, because we can buy data, and data is super cheap, guys. Like, data is cheap. And so they say, if we just have enough data, mountains and mountains and mountains of data, we can draw what's called correlation, which is when this thing happens, that thing happens at the same time. It's not causative. It's not saying that this thing causes this thing. It's saying that these two things happen at the same time. Okay. So, I'll give you an example. In the summer, ice cream sales go up and murders go up. So correlation would say, oh, there's a relationship here between an increase in ice cream sales and an increase in murder, right? And people might jump to the conclusion to say, we need to ban all ice cream, Genesis, because ice cream is causing people to murder each other. But correlation isn't causation. So what we want to do here is we want to understand the causation, what caused something to happen. And so you can't do that by sending out surveys. You can't do that by buying a bunch of data. The only way that you can really understand causation or customer motivation is by talking to your customers. That's it. And when you talk to them, you can't have this big script. It's got to be a very open and flowing conversation where you're like, hey, you know, one day you had a problem and you decided that you needed to solve this problem that eventually led you to buying our product or service. So tell me about that day when you realized you needed to solve that problem. Not the day when you bought our service. That's not what we're looking for yet. Just the day that you decided this was a problem that you needed to solve. And then you go from there. You build off it from there.
Okay. So getting them to open up and thinking back to what that problem was and why they originally reached out to you to solve that problem, and having that open dialogue and making it an informal conversation where you're kind of relaxed and you get them to just really open up, and then you begin to kind of get inside of their wheelhouse, and then you begin to formulate the partnership and grow that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that that's a huge part of it. And when I go into these conversations, I tell the people that I'm talking with, just pretend that I'm a documentarian, right? That I'm filming a documentary, and I just want to know your story. That's it.
And that brings me like to the next point, because you said just think of it as a documentary and you wanting to know their story. And I think by you genuinely wanting to know a story and wanting to, you know, solve certain things, that's where innovation comes in. And you said your word is innovation. So when you think about innovation as a whole, what are some of the innovative things that you have done in your business from start to where you are now?
Oh, geez. That's a good question. You know, I really believe in eating my own dog food. So the biggest thing that I am always doing, the thing that I'm always doing is I'm always having conversations with my customers or with my target audience to understand, you know, what caused them to want to work with a consultant. Because that's going to impact how I solve their problems. You know, some of the biggest innovations that I've done is adding that most profitable client component. Because originally I was just doing this, you know, we're going to come in, we're going to look at your processes, we're going to look at your systems, we're going to look for some marginal gains there. And, you know, when we're done, we're done. And I still offer that, you know, I'm happy to help businesses with that, but it's not the kind of transformation that these business owners are really looking for. You know, for a lot of people, they've turned their business into a prison and they don't have any hope of parole here, Genesis. They're kind of stuck. And, for some people, they, it takes them to a dark place. For other people, they just give up. They say, I can't do this anymore. I know one woman who took a six-figure business and just handed it over to her top employee, just walked away from it. Because she felt so imprisoned and felt like that was the only way that she could get back to spending time with her family. And so, you know, I was able to realize, well, a lot of these business owners, they're doing this because they don't have confidence in their team's ability to deliver, right? They don't know if their team even has the skill set necessary to help the customer. And so they bring the team on, but they don't know how to adequately utilize them. They don't know how to make sure that these people are actually taking things off their plate. So that's why I added this profitable client part, and why I added this, we're going to do this market research part, because it allows the team to understand what you're doing for your customer so they can actively take stuff off of your plate and solve problems for the customer, in some cases better than you could.
I like that. And I think that's that approach that you're taking right there helps them break out of prison. whenever they really connect with their team and their team is able to remove some of those things off of their plate. So then it also frees them up where they're not feeling like they're caged up or ready to just turn their business over to anyone and everybody, what they work so hard for, because you still want them to be in love with their business, like when they first started it. So thank you for sharing that. And now we're going to jump into an audible and then our CTA as we're winding down. So is there anything else that I have not asked you about, Zach, that you would like to share?
You know, I think that the only thing that you have not asked me about that I would like to share is that I think that baseball is the American pastime and that football should be left in the dustbin of history.
What? So I am not a sports person, Caribbean descent. My husband is a sports person, and trying to learn while he's watching sports is not a good thing, because he's like, shh, shh. And I'm like,
oh, hey, yeah. What
So I've learned like to ask my husband questions about sports when it's not in a sports game.
Yes.
So, Zach, let's jump into the CTA. Y'all, that is a call to action. What is your call to action for the audience today? Once they heard all these incredible gems you've dropped.
Yeah, you know, I think for me, the call to action at this point is I offer a free 15-minute conversation. In that conversation, let's just figure out what's getting in the way of you scaling. I know that a lot of people are going to be like, hey, you're just trying to sell me something. Well, duh. But also, you know, if I'm not going to be able to help you, that's fine. Let's find someone who can help you. You know, let's get you where you need to go. You're a business owner who's making a positive impact in the world. Let's increase that impact. I think that you have a responsibility given you by God to do that.
And Zach, how can they connect with you? What's your website and share your primary social media?
Yeah. Okay. So my website is businesslegendconsulting.com. Because we're going to turn you into a business legend, y'all. my social media, I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on all the Twitters, Facebook. If you search for Homeric spelled like Homer Simpson with an IC at the end. You should be able to find me. Yeah.
And there you have it, folks. Zach Stookie, dropping knowledge, helping you scale up and build that profitability that you desire, going from in a prison to out of prison and living life like it's golden, not working in your business, working on your business and making it profitable in all aspects. I am your host and founder, Genesis Amaris Kemp, and make sure you leave us a review where you're listening. Reviews are golden, and it helps me know what to improve on and what not to do. And my last ask, ASK, is for brand sponsors. It does take monetary resources to fuel the mission and movement, which is to continue to bring you content that is educational, inspirational, and motivational, while also weaving in my personal favorites, D, E, I, and B. What's that? Diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging, because it takes all of us coming together to make this world a better place. So leave your imprint now to make an impact for future generations to come. And that's legacy building, y'all. Signing out, Genesis Amaris Kemp and Zach Stookie.
Bye, gang.